flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And he was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you caring for an aging loved one? Are you a senior searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And now, America's Senior Care Consultant, Steve Kuecker.
Welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Kuecker, your senior care consultant, and I really appreciate you tuning in today. Get ready. I'm going to turn on the fire hose, and I've got a ton of information I'm going to share with you today. The topic is, let's just call it like it is, the top 10 reasons you could be discharged from the assisted living level of care. All right, the top 10. And we're talking about an unwanted discharge from assisted living. Before I start, you know, getting into all of this stuff, don't call or email or text saying, well, gosh, that's not fair. You just don't like assisted living. No, I love assisted living. It's fantastic. It's a great fit for so many people. But you also have to understand a lot of the gotchas. And I get the calls from people who have been stung by some of these, and they're not happy. They're not happy at all. So, again, meeting the mission of Senior Care Live, information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers, I'm sharing these top 10 reasons. So let's talk just a super quick review of the assisted living level of care. Just understand that assisted living is a social model. It's just not a medical model. So they can help you minimally or fully with your what's called ADLs, activities of daily living. That would be your bathing, dressing, grooming, toileting. They can help you to a point with incontinence support. They manage your medications, make sure you get all of those properly and on time. They make all of your meals, snacks, and hydration at this point. There's a full calendar of activities for meaningful social engagement. Doctors make house calls, saving you a trip out. If you prefer to keep your doctor or need to see a specialist, there's transportation to get you out to your medical appointments. There is a ton to love about assisted living, but they all have their limitations and thresholds. Okay. And, you know, there are so many discharges from the assisted living level of care to that next higher level of care, which would be long-term care. And a lot of folks still refer to that as a nursing home. Okay. But that's okay. If you need a higher level of care, then you need discharge and you find long-term care, and that's fine. But there's so much conflicting information out there as to who does what and what are the thresholds and that sort of thing. So just wanted to, again, just review some of the common issues that will result in you receiving an unwanted discharge or receiving that dreaded discharge letter from your assisted living community. So number one, and these aren't in any particular order. Okay. Number one, becoming a two-person transfer. So I'll just share a quick story. A recent senior care consulting client called up. They were very upset. They used one of these free referral services. Okay, they chose the place, and it went fine. It went fine for maybe, I don't know, 5-6 months. Then one day, out of the blue, they get this 30-day discharge notice, and it said that because your dad has weakened to the point where he is now a two-person transfer, meaning it takes two staff to help him move from point A to point B, we're not able to do that. You've exceeded our limitations or our threshold, and so you're going to have to move him to long-term care. We can no, and here's the quote, we can no longer meet the needs of your father. We can no longer meet the needs. That's it. And this family, they were not told of any transfer limitations. They thought everything was going to be wonderful, and it was for a short period of time. They were not educated by the free referral service about the potential for discharge or the limitations. Hey, they went cha-ching, and they made their $6,000-$7,000 kickback on that one. They love it. They love it. And it doesn't matter that you're there for 5 or 6 months. They'll come back and they'll say, hey, we'll help you find another place. And then they'll rack up another another kickback. How about that? All right, I'm getting off track. I need to get back on track here. That'll be for another program. So again, they were not told about this limitation. And again, with Senior Care Consulting, this is not an issue because we discuss all of that up front. Most assisted living facilities or communities can provide a one-person transfer. In fact, all of them can. There's always a little bit of a gray area. There are some, and we're talking just very few, there are some assisted living communities that can accommodate a two-person transfer. And there are even some that are willing to use mechanical lifts to help transport or move, transfer a resident from point A to point B. But very, very few. So I'm talking some generalities here. Number two, just requiring too much care. So the staffing model in assisted living, it has some limitations. In the vast majority of assisted living communities. And the bottom line, if you need more care than they can offer, you are out, period. It's just very cut and dry. You're probably not told this in too much detail, if any, up front. But again, that's why I'm reviewing all this. Number three, incontinence care is becoming more and more necessary. So most places could help out at least minimally with incontinence management and incontinence support. But if this becomes more and more of an issue, and if the resident, as the resident, would need more and more assistance from staff to help manage the incontinence support, at some point, most places are going to pull the trigger. They're going to give you the discharge letter, and they're going to say, we can no longer keep up with the incontinence management. You're going to need to move to long-term care to get that handled. All right, number four. Let's say if you need a low air loss mattress to prevent wound issues and skin breakdown issues. So if you are sedentary, maybe laying in bed a lot, it's pretty common to develop skin breakdown and pressure ulcers, and wound care would be needed on those pressure points, on your back, on your side. And remember, it's a social model. It's not a medical model. So if you need something like that, that clearly falls into the camp of the medical model. Number five. If your loved one needs, again, medical care, such as wound care, that's going to be managed by a registered nurse, and there's a lot that goes into wound care. Compression wraps for lymphedema and treating and managing cellulitis that might be come along with that. Requiring that mechanical lift in lieu of a two-person transfer, just to make sure that resident can be transferred from point A to point B using one of the Hoyer lifts and one of the sit-to-stand lifts, that sort of thing. Tube feeding. I've not been able to find an assisted living community that can handle someone and provide all hands-on care for tube feeding. Urinary catheter care. That comes down to an RN again. That falls into that medical category. And, of course, IV therapy, that's pretty clearly in the medical category. All right, so again, if your loved one needs pretty specific medical care, that is probably going to get you a discharge from assisted living because it's just not the right fit at the assisted living level, period. Number six, if your loved one requires pain management, and that's more than they can handle. I mean, they can give your loved one, you know, Tylenol or, you know, stronger prescription medication to manage pain. But when we start getting into, you know, pain patches, pain injections, injecting the medication in certain areas, managing a pain, an implanted pain pump, that is going to cross the line in, at most, the vast majority of places. Number seven, it could be as simple as needing diabetic management with insulin injections. Now, all assisted living communities that I'm aware of, if the resident can competently manage, you know, measure their blood sugar, dial up a pin, give themselves their shot, or manage the oral medications, I mean, that's fine. That's fine. The problem comes in where if you need a nurse to give you the injection, that's a challenge. And most assisted living communities do not offer round-the-clock diabetic management that would have to be handled by at least an LPN. All right. And again, that's a function of staffing. So coming up next, I'm going to continue my list of the top 10 reasons you could receive an unwanted discharge from the assisted living level of care. But first, let's not forget about the Senior Care Live question of the week. All assisted living communities are private pay only. Is that statement true or false? What do you think?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit SeniorCareLive.com. All right, back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. All assisted living communities are private pay only. Is that statement true or false? And the answer is false. The answer is false. Little bit of a trick question. Although the vast majority of assisted living communities are private pay only, and what that means is you're writing a check that you're paying for your stay in the assisted living community. You're paying for that out of pocket using your own resources. Okay, so the vast majority are. There are always a few exceptions. So, for example, you know, here in the Kansas City area, we straddle states of Kansas and Missouri. So on the Kansas side, there's actually a little bucket of money, a little category within the Medicaid program called HCBS, Home and Community-Based Services. And within that category, they will pay for some of the cost of your stay at the assisted living level of care. It's not enough, frankly. Okay. So in certain instances, in just literally a handful, a few assisted living communities on the Kansas side, in the KC metro area, this is just an example, they will work with you in the Medicaid program through the HCBS program. Okay. The vast majority are private pay only, but technically that statement is false. How about that? All right. Back to the top 10 reasons you could receive an unwanted discharge from the assisted living level of care. I left off at number 7 regarding diabetic management with insulin injections. And again, if you're a resident living in assisted living and you can show that you can monitor your blood sugar properly, if you need insulin, you can dial up the pen to the right dose and go boom, give yourself the jab, insulin goes in, you're good to go. You're managing it properly. It's the problem is, or the challenge is, let's say if you have cognitive impairment, for example, or you have a physical limitation where you're just not able to do that, most places are not going to be able to do that for you as far as giving, you know, drawing up the insulin and giving you the injection. Now, as with all of these places and all of these, you know, top 10 reasons, there are always a few exceptions. So I can think of just a handful of places off the top of my head, at least in our market here in the KC metro area. And I'm sure there are exceptions all around the country. But there are a few places that do have proper staffing, okay, 24-hour staffing with LPNs and maybe even RNs. And they can do that for you. Okay, I'm just saying the vast majority do not. And let's say you go in, you're able to take care of yourself with this, and then at some point you can't manage that, you can't do it on your own, and they don't have the staff to do it. And again, most places don't. You're going to get that letter, that discharge letter. We can no longer meet your needs. You're going to have to move somewhere else. All right, number eight, needing help eating food. So needing help feeding yourself, or maybe needing a very specialized diet, or needing a pureed or some other type of a specialized diet. Now, I'll say most assisted living communities are doing a lot better job of that today. About 10 years ago, I had a lady, and she comes up. She's wagging her finger at me. She goes, "You keep my dad out of a nursing home. I want him in assisted living." I'm like, "Okay, yes, ma'am." But the challenge is her dad, and God bless him, he had a stroke, and he was coming out of that stroke, but he was still requiring thickened liquids and a pureed diet and that sort of thing. But he was making some improvements. So I did my homework for her father and her and the rest of the family, of course, with my firm Senior Care Consulting, and I was able to identify an assisted living community who they were willing to meet his needs. And they knew that he was getting better, and at some point he may not need, again, thickened liquids. He had swallowing problems because of his stroke, so he was getting speech therapy to help out with that. And eventually he got back to where he was able to eat pretty much a normal diet, and he didn't need thickened liquids and all that stuff. But most places are not going to be able to do that. They're going to have some limitations that could trigger it. And now this.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. This is a consumer alert. Consumer alert.
Okay. Understand that all assisted living communities care for residents with cognitive issues, cognitive impairment. So if you contact one, they're going to say, well, we offer memory care. And what they may mean by that is, oh, yeah, we have residents here with dementia. Yeah, and they're doing fine. And they may say that even if they don't have a segregated or separate memory care neighborhood or memory care unit within the building. So, again, all of them care for cognitively impaired residents. All of them do. However, if the memory issues exceed their limits, you will be asked to move. So as an example, your loved one is doing well at the assisted living community. Everything's going great. And then you'll see a cognitive decline and due to dementia, Alzheimer's, or maybe one of the other types of dementia. And all of a sudden, your loved one is beginning to wander about. They're just walking around, checking stuff out. And now, all of a sudden, they are considered an elopement risk or a flight risk, meaning they could wander out of the building just wanting to check something out. It could be 0 degrees. It could be 100 degrees, right? And or it could be a lot of traffic, and they could unintentionally put themselves in harm's way. So now your loved one is considered now an elopement risk, or if you will, a flight risk. Now, most assisted living communities have what's called a wander guard system. There are other names for these things as well. Essentially, you put a little wristband on, a little watch kind of a thing. And if you get too close to an exit, there's a little box up there that talks to the watch, and it turns on, it'll activate an alarm. And then they'll redirect you away from the door, and everything's fine. Okay, it's a great tool to prevent your loved one from leaving the building unattended, and again, unintentionally placing themselves in harm's way. However, if your loved one is setting off that alarm 10 times a day, Okay. And if they don't have a memory care unit or neighborhood within that building, you will receive a discharge notice.
Proceed with caution. This has been a Consumer Alert brought to you by Senior Care Live.
So don't be fooled. There's a lot more that you need to know about that. And coming up next, I'm going to tell you exactly how to handle that. So do not go away. And again, today we're reviewing the top 10 reasons that you could receive an unwanted discharge letter from the assisted living level of care.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. Stick around. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For podcasts of the program, go to SeniorCareLive.com or wherever you get your podcasts. All right. So number nine regarding, oh yeah, we offer memory care for any assisted living communities. They, like I said, they all care for residents with at least mild cognitive impairment. But if some of these issues related to your cognitive impairment, you know, come to a point that they cannot manage, then you're going to get that letter. Now, if the assisted living community has a memory care neighborhood, which is a separate special part of the building, they've got codes on the doors, there's more staffing, there's a lot to it, okay? If they have that available, your loved one can be transferred to that area of the building. They're just moving over to memory care. It's within the building. And that'll usually take care of the issue and meet your needs. Right? So, but if they don't, then that's what's going to happen. That's why I wanted to throw a consumer alert on that and wrap it up in that, because that's a big deal. And again, with my firm Senior Care Consulting, I have received maybe a bazillion calls from families saying, you know, they said they can meet the needs of my mom, and they knew that she had, you know, kind of some mild dementia issues, and they said they offer memory care, and they said they could meet her needs for life, and they're an Asian place community, she'll never have to move, and here we are getting a discharge. Did they lie to me? They're really mad. And I'm like, I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't hear everything that was said. But I always put that squarely into the category or the camp of overpromise, underdeliver. And unfortunately, a lot of times salespeople will do that. They'll make the sale. 6 months later, you're asked to leave. And that's what happens. All right. So I just see it way too often. And again, I am not anti-assisted living. I could just hear it now. Well, that Steve just doesn't like assisted living, and that's really upsetting. No, that's not true. I mean, a large percentage of Senior Care Consulting clients require the assisted living level of care. We just help them get it right the first time and not have any of these unwanted surprises. Period. That's it. Full stop. Okay, number 10. If you run out of money from the assist, and you're living in an assisted living community, you run out of money, you're going to get discharged. Period. Like I said earlier, most assisted living communities, that was our question of the week, the vast majority of them are private pay only. And, you know, even if you've lived there for years, the second you run out of money, unless they're one of the very, very few that are willing to work with the Medicaid program, and they are very few and far between. Okay, unless they're doing that, okay, the vast majority of everyone else, you are getting a discharge, period. And again, end of sentence, full stop on that one too. So one of my first clients, long, long, long time ago, a young lady in her 30s, she called me. I was referred by my attorney, and she said, Steve will take care of you. He'll make sure that you get it right. And she was weeping, literally just sobbing. And I'm like, okay, tell me what's going on. Let me see if I can help out here. And the long and the short of it was she was responsible for her grandmother. She called her, referred to her as Grams. I'll never forget this. And she said that they found a great place for Grams. It's assisted living, specializing in memory care. The whole community was memory care. So it was great. And she said they've done a wonderful job over the past, you know, several years. And she loves them, the staff loves her. It's just been wonderful. And then recently I get this letter given a 30-day discharge. They're kicking her out. And she's like, oh, no. Oh, my gosh. What happened? She calls them up. She said, did I do something to upset you or did Grams do anything? Why are you kicking us out? We've been here for years. And they said, oh, no, you haven't done anything wrong. And Grams hasn't done anything wrong. Oh, we love her. But you're out of money. And we don't take Medicaid. You have no way to pay for this. So you're going to have to move to a community that will work with the Medicaid program. Your Grams, she's out of money. And so she's going to have to move. So after she kind of collected herself, she told me that whole story. Then she got mad. She was going through all the range of emotions. And she shared with me that her grandmother had spent about $350,000 with them over a long period of time. She had no clue that this place would kick them out if she ran out of money. She made the assumption, and never make assumptions, but she made the assumption that they would just bill Medicaid. So she didn't ask, and they didn't tell. And that was the result. So you just have to be aware of these things. I'm going to give you a few bonus reasons of why you might receive an unwanted discharge from assisted living. So number 11, we're speeding past number 10 here, right? So number 11, and this is a really big one. If your loved one is falling too much, so all of a sudden they're becoming a liability for the community, because if she falls and breaks a hip, then they could be investigated by the state. Well, did you put your fall prevention measures in place and you didn't do enough? And so now you get a G level deficiency, which means actual harm came to a resident because of something they're not doing. It's a big liability for them. So if your loved one is beginning to fall too much, that you're getting a quick ticket out of there. And let me just throw this. I'll talk about this on another program. You will thank me later for this one. Do not, and I mean not, ever sign something called a negotiated risk agreement. And what that is, it's an agreement that says if your mom, if your dad, if your loved one has a fall and they injure themselves, we are not liable for that. You just took us off the hook. If they fall and they break their neck, not on us. Because you agreed that we're not responsible for it. That's the negotiated risk agreement. Don't ever sign that, because don't do it. Okay, I can't go into all that stuff today. Just don't sign it. What that is screaming out, what that is saying very loudly is you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong level of care. You need to go to a place that can with a higher level of care, more staffing, and they're able to manage that fall risk and mitigate the number of falls properly. Okay, I'm going to get off that. I could talk about that for the next 30 minutes, I think. So, number 12. This one's pretty big. If your loved one has any negative behaviors, and I'm putting my air quotes up, behaviors, they will be discharged. And they should be discharged. Okay. It could be just too much wandering in and out of other resident rooms, exit seeking, and they're just not able to manage that. They don't have, like I said, they don't have that memory care unit available. It could be using foul language or in a, this one happens all the time, and God bless them, they don't know what they're saying. But someone with Alzheimer's or dementia could be using inappropriate language with the opposite sex. You just can't have that. It's not fair to the people receiving that inappropriate language. It could be inappropriate sexual advances. And believe me, this stuff happens all the time in these senior care communities. And then taking it even to a higher level, it could be aggressive or combative behavior, and that's always a part of it's not always a part, but if that happens, that's going to be someone with Alzheimer's or dementia, or maybe what, you know, frontal temporal lobe dementia, Lewy bodies. We won't go into all that stuff either. I'll get a doctor on the program sometime. Maybe we'll get Dr. Burns on here to talk about that one of these days. But that aggressive, combative behavior, that's you can't have it. That's an immediate, instant discharge. Any psychotic issues, seeing things, hallucinating, talking to people who are not there, is just very, very disruptive. So, and again, God bless these people. They don't know what they're doing. But any of these negative behaviors, that's definitely going to get a discharge. That'll get an immediate discharge from the assisted living level of care. And coming up next, I'll explain to you and share with you what you can do to avoid an unwanted discharge from assisted living.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more coming up.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. All right. So I went through the top 10, gave you a couple of bonus reasons that you may receive an unwanted discharge from assisted living. So the question is, well, Steve, how do you avoid that? What can you do to extend or maximize your stay at your chosen assisted living community? So I'll just give you, maybe about four solid points here. Ask the right questions about their limitations. Maybe before that, just understand there are limitations. If you hear someone say, "We're an age-in-place community, and your mom will never have to leave. We've got you." Okay, that's they hope that will be the case, and they really want that to happen. But here is the absolute truth: every single place, every one of them, has a threshold. If your care exceeds that threshold, their maximum of what they can offer, you will be discharged. So just understand there are limitations. There's a threshold. Ask the right questions about their limitations. And then just understand very thoroughly what you're getting into and how much care they can actually provide. And if your loved one has Alzheimer's or dementia and they're doing fine, well, Steve, they're not in elopement risk. They'll be fine. Okay, well, as they decline, they're not an elopement risk until they are an elopement risk. There's no warning. All of a sudden, we found your dad walking a half mile down the street. He's lucky he didn't get hit by a car. The police stopped by and asked him if he needed help, and they brought him back here. Okay, so the community's in trouble. Your dad got lucky. You're mad. Just understand what you're getting into. Ask the right questions about their limitation. Number two. If your loved one has memory-related issues, again, make sure you choose a place that provides memory care. And what that means is, oh, we care for people with dementia. No. They provide memory care, which is a separate part within the building. It's a memory care neighborhood within the building. If that increase or that special type of care is needed in the future. If they don't have a memory care unit, a memory care neighborhood, whatever they call it, okay, then you are taking that risk. So just don't do that. Avoid it altogether. If your loved one has memory issues, choose an assisted living community that has a memory care neighborhood. And then that's going to give you that option if and when that would be needed in the future. Number three. Here's if you want to avoid a discharge that would force you to move or basically, you know, make you move from assisted living to long-term care, this will fix it up right away. Choose an assisted living community that's connected to a long-term care level of care. So choose a community that has both. So that if your loved one and if their needs or their care rises to the level of that threshold and exceeds the threshold, all they have to do, they can easily transition down the hall to long-term care. That's easy peasy. That's simple. That takes care of all of it. Now, you're going to have a lot fewer places to choose from. So maybe that's not the ultimate answer, but I'm telling you, that'll take care of it. That'll take care of it. Choose an assisted living community that is connected to long-term care. Easy transition. You go down the hall to your long-term care. If it's a campus style of an arrangement, could be across the lawn or maybe, you know, a block down the road if they have a large campus. If they offer long-term care, there's your outlet. You don't have to, you may not even have to change your address. You're still working with the same organization. And they could easily make that transition for you. All right, last but not least, understand the finances of it all and just do the math. I do this with every one of our clients. And some of these calculations get a little bit complex, especially when you're dealing with more than one person and in a continuing care retirement community. So I've made spreadsheets and worked through that to help my clients understand the financing of it all. So do the math, calculate how long your loved one can afford to pay privately. Then ask yourself this question. Are you willing to move them again one more time at the moment they run out of money? Are you willing to move one more time? If the answer is no, I don't want to move them one more time, then you need to choose a place, an assisted living community that's connected to long-term care, and make sure the long-term care part of that community is Medicaid certified. That'll take care of it. If all of this sounds a little bit overwhelming and complex, if you need help with that, as always, I would invite you to reach out to my firm, Senior Care Consulting. We don't let you make a mistake. We already understand all of the potential pitfalls and traps, the potential reason for discharge. We discuss all of that with you so that you're not going to get some unexpected or unwanted discharge letter. We just don't let you make that mistake. And again, Senior Care Consulting, online, seniorcareconsulting.com. You could also give us a call at 913-945-2800. That's 913-945-2800. Give us a call. We can help. And I'll tell you what, this last week, my message of, you know, talking about the free referral services, you get what you pay for, et cetera, I'm having more and more people call me up and they'll say, Steve, before we get into our discussion, let me ask you a question. Do you receive a commission or kickback from the places that you're going to recommend to us? A guy asked me that like this last week, and I said, no, sir. I work for you, directly for you. I don't receive a penny from any of the communities. This is as objective and as credible as it can be. We offer a placement service with integrity. And he said, good. I agree with that. Now we can continue our conversation. So the message is really getting a lot of traction, and I'm proud of you for not taking that bait of free. My friend and our special producer here, Sean Floyd, we were talking about that before the show today, and we were talking about the word free is a very powerful word, isn't it, Sean?
It is. It's one of the most powerful and enticing words you can fall for, but if something is free, you're still going to have to pay for it in the end.
Yeah, somehow, some way.
Yes.
So, and on a sad note, gosh, I usually try to end on a positive note, and it is positive. It is positive. But Sean Floyd, our producer extraordinaire, I'm telling you, you don't understand. But he makes me sound way better than I actually do. But Sean has a phenomenal career opportunity, and Sean will be leaving us, and this is our last program together.
Yes, it was a decision that was a difficult one, But it was an opportunity that I just simply could not pass up, and I'm really looking forward to it. But this is certainly not goodbye for Steve and I.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is just a I'll talk to you later type of scenario. But I've enjoyed every single moment that I've been able to produce this show. So thank you very much.
All right. And thank you. I will miss you. But again, it's not goodbye. It's, hey, we'll chat next week about football and
drums and other stuff.
All of the above.
Exactly right.
All right. And Sean, good luck to you, my friend.
Thank you so much.
All right. I'm Steve Kuiker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week right here on Senior Care Live.